your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Sola.
All right, welcome to, is it still Monday? It's still Monday. Lacrosse Talk PM, 608-785-7914. Talk and text line. And the guy just said that. I don't know why I do that. John Havlicek, the Lacrosse Teachers Union president, is in here. You will probably have to get close to that thing, and that chair is not going to let you do that, is it? The big, it's like the Game of Thrones chair, I feel like, it, although it's not metal. John Havlicek is the Wisconsin, let me see if I can do this without, no, Wisconsin, Lacrosse Education Association president. 8 years you've been doing that. 24 years you've been a Spanish teacher. And, you know, you had a column out today. We talked about it a little bit this morning, the La Crosse School District going to, everyone's masking. Is anyone there not wearing a mask? Like everyone, there's no.
You have some students, for example, who simply cannot tolerate it. And we're not talking like it's uncomfortable. It's like, no, this is a much more serious issue for those kids.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, that's pretty much universal.
And Dr. Aaron Engel made that decision on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You get that letter on Friday. Is it just like a huge sigh of relief for a lot of people?
Yes, absolutely.
And were you expecting it, I guess? And he dropped it on a Friday because that's called the Friday news dump, John.
We had been, the district leadership was talking with union leadership, and we had kind of gone back and forth, and we understand there are some reasons to do the mask mandate. There are some reasons to not do it. The difficulty was that the reasons to not have the mask mandate weren't typically health and science related. They were more the politics of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just real glad that this is where he landed.
Are there alternatives to can some of the students, and maybe this is a better question for Engel, but some of the students that don't, you know, maybe their parents don't actually feel comfortable with them even in the schools at this point, can they virtual learn then, or is there?
Sure. They can. We have a very robust
academy, right?
Cooley Region Virtual Academy, CRVA, that offers not exactly every class, but certainly the majority. And then if they didn't have that, like they might not have Spanish 5 in the CRVA.
Right.
There are other virtual options as well through the state that our teachers facilitate. So really there's something for everybody. You just got to get there.
You're not just throwing your phone up on your desk and propping it while you're doing class and hitting Facebook Live, and
not
your kid can log into Facebook Live. No, that would be interesting if you could do that. I mean, it wouldn't be. I guess you throw a camera in the back of the classroom and you hit play or hit record, and students could log in from home. But that would be
no. I mean, we will be Zooming. We'll probably be doing some of that on a limited basis, like for a kid who gets sick and has to stay home. But there's a pretty strong, like what I did last year was, and this kind of goes to the later start date or starting time, during my prep hours or during what we have with resource and things like that, kids can Zoom in. And then I can work with that student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Canvas, which is our learning system online that parents and kids all have access to for my lessons and things like that. And then that kid can come see me, on a Tuesday, let's just say, and say, you know, hey, I couldn't be in class. I'm going to be gone for the next few days. Can you walk me through some of the things? And I say, yep, here's the printed materials that are electronic. Let's look through the notes. And, you know, I'll touch base with you in a day or two. And we can do some of those things, which is a positive.
Is that something
we took from last year?
3 years ago?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is new. I was going to say, something you've always had, but no, apparently. So the pandemic has brought upon the system a little bit of a, that maybe we should have had anyway, because kids also, before COVID, I feel like kids did go on vacation and did get sick and miss school.
Yeah. And, you would just kind of make a little wiggle here and a little wiggle there and a little shift here, and you would just move on. But that's certainly better now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so I got some other stuff that I want to get into, and I'll just give a little preview because we got to go to break here in a couple minutes. Because you've been a Spanish teacher for so long, how you got into that, because you're clearly not, you're just a white dude from what I can tell, you've been a Spanish teacher. Not that you can't learn Spanish, but it is just like how you got into that. Cause in my high school, the Spanish teachers were Spanish, like you could
like
tell
they
were
speakers.
Yeah. They were. Mm-hmm. Just the whole learning process of kids learning Spanish, because also in my high school days, Spanish started learning pretty late and it didn't seem all that beneficial for me, mm-hmm. Being that I failed the first semester, and then I didn't learn hardly any Spanish anyway. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was, yeah, that late, like having school start, you know, I think Winona Middle School starts at 9 or 9:30. I think they do start a little bit later. Or they used to anyway. And just the idea that we start school at 8 a.m. and is that the best thing for everybody? It just seems like it's really early, but it may be the best thing for parents. Maybe we all should just push everything back a couple hours. And then cell phones in the classroom and your experience as, you know, you've done this for 25 years. So obviously we've gone through a whole generation of, little Nokia phones to, and I don't even think kids would have. Yeah, I kind of wonder, you know, and maybe you could, I don't have kids. So like when cell phones first came out, there was always those like emergency cell phones that kids would keep in their backpack. And then that I feel like that just like slowly escalated to every kid has a cell phone at every grade. Yeah. So if you're teaching high school, I'm sure I'm guessing 75% of kids have cell phones and just how you deal with that how that's grown in the classroom. But before we get all that, and obviously we could keep talking about COVID and masks and schools, if anyone has any questions for John Havlicek, the president of the La Crosse Education Association, or Spanish questions or just teaching questions, 608-785-7914. We'll take your calls. We'll read your texts. Brad, got to do the news. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM, 608-785-7914. John Havlicek's in here. I didn't do a Boston Celtics joke yet. I did this morning, but I didn't do one yet. We'll see. Every time I say it, it's not even like I watched John Havlicek play for the Celtics. So it's not even, or that I even like the Celtics, but the NBA is my sport. This John is the president of La Crosse Education Association. He's been doing that for 8 years and Central High School Spanish teacher for almost a quarter century.
You're killing me.
Is that sad?
You're killing me.
A little bit. First, real quick, is the La Crosse Education Association president like a democracy? Are we voting for you? Or
absolutely.
Who the teachers vote for you?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes, we have an election every year, as a matter of fact.
And how many every year? Do you run? Is there like the Wisconsin Senate? Are there 10 candidates every year? And you need a ranked choice voting system? So
it's
that
not too much of a smear campaign or anything like that. I tend to run unopposed. Because it's a lot of work and everybody kind of goes, if you're willing to do it, you've got my vote. So it's pretty safe.
Dan texted in. We'll get to this in a minute, but I'll throw it out there. Dan said, I graduated in 02, class of 80 kids. Only two had cell phones. Things sure have changed. I feel like two cell phones in 2002 is a lot out of 80 kids back then. Because those were 2002. That's definitely Nokia, the indestructible, like, blue phone that you could play Snake on. Do you remember that? You just play Snake on
it. Yeah, I mean, it was pre-iPhone.
Yeah. All right. I think we're getting a couple of calls here. Let me put this one on hold. And Greg's calling in. Greg, you're on the air with John. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just heard the news about the masks, and I think it's the best thing we could have happen to the government indoctrination system. People are going to realize how badly the government system is failing, and I mean it was failing before the COVID nonsense, but this is making it even worse. So I think people are going to learn that there are other options where they don't have to put muzzles on their kids and they're not indoctrinated with nonsense, and they'll actually learn something.
Okay, so masks are indoctrinating kids?
Yeah, and all the other stuff, critical race theory, all the other nonsense the government schools teach. So I think it's going to be a great boon for private schools. And, you know, people are sitting at home with their kids last year and doing virtual learning, which was failing miserably. And they realize that they have a hand in educating their kid. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people were stunned when they saw how poorly their kids read and do math when they were sitting at home watching them online.
I think it's going to be great.
I think it sounds like Joe Biden's running the lacrosse school system.
So the Aquinas schools didn't have masks and didn't send their kids to virtual learn?
I'm not really sure about Aquinas, but other private schools didn't.
In the area? Like, name a couple.
Right. No, I'm not going to name names.
Oh, you're not?
I don't want people picking on. You don't want to support
the schools that aren't indoctrinating your kids by telling people where they can take their kids to school that won't have to wear masks and won't have to virtual learn? You're not going to promote those schools?
You can find out real easy.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. John, you're indoctrinating kids by making them wear a mask.
Well, I guess I don't know your last name, sir. Greg, if you want to come visit my classroom at Central High School, certainly there's a little bit of paperwork to fill out, but I'd love to have you come in and visit my classroom and see what we do. As far as indoctrinating, I don't think I do too much of that. I teach Spanish. As far as critical race theory, that's not being taught in any public schools at the high school level, nor is it indoctrination. And I'm just going to throw out there that I would argue that we have the best public school system in the world. And if you want numbers, I could tell you that when you account for poverty on things like the PISA, P-I-S-A, it's a program international, it's French. That's the test that they take all across the world. When you simply account for poverty, the United States scores the best out of every country in the world when you simply account for childhood poverty. So thank you for calling. And again, you are welcome to come visit my classroom. John Havlicek, and I teach at Central High School. There's a little bit of paperwork to fill out.
And you'll have to wear a mask.
Yes.
John texted in. He said, last year at Aquinas, the high school masked and in person every other day. Elementary was masked and in person daily. So that's what Aquinas did, according to John here in the text line. A couple more calls here. Caller, who is this?
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead. You got a question for John?
Yeah. John, did you graduate from Central as well?
No, sir, I did not.
Hmm. All right, well, then you're a different Havlicek than I was thinking of, because I was going to put it on you pretty big.
Sorry. You can still, buddy.
All right. You can tell that you get it. You're enthusiastic about it, and that's what we need. We need people that are excited about what they're doing for education, and I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Tony. God, I kind of wonder what that John Havlicek and the Central High graduate did. All right, let's see here. Eric's calling. Eric from Sparta. Go ahead. Eric, go ahead. You're on the air with John.
Yeah, I must tell you, Mr. Havlicek, I'm 70 years old. I praise God that I was born in 1969 because I didn't have this virus of political correctness destroying our country. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. What's funny is Eric is, like, super pro-mask and he wants Governor Evers to distribute N95 masks to everybody in the nation. So I don't know how to take his comment there, but Rug from Trempolo texts in. I mentioned cell phones. This is something I think we can go down and we can get off the mask for a minute.
Sure.
He texts in. Let's see. We were talking about cell phones in school and just how from, you know, what, 19, I don't even know. When I guess we probably had cell phones for a long time. If you remember the show Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris had his dad's cell phone, but it was like this big.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said his buddy's dad had a bag of phones in his Suburban in 1989. And I just texted him back, wait a minute, is the Suburban an 89? And it was just like yesterday? Or no, he said this was back in 89, but it was a 90 Suburban. I don't know how that works, Trump. Trump Rug from Trempolo. I think he's messing with me. Okay, cell phones in the classroom. If you don't want to wear them headphones, you don't have to either way. you've watched this kind of gain. Does every kid in you're teaching high school, right?
From a lot of kids have cell phones. Absolutely.
Okay, so what is the rule? Like, if you go to not Chris Rock, who's the other black comic? Not Chris Tucker. He's on Netflix. He's doing Netflix specials now. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it in a minute. But he makes you, when you go to a show, turn your cell phones in. So nobody has cell phones, just so you can't record a show. So it's original. And also, he's doing stuff that's kind of fringe. And as a comic, he wants to test whether or not this is plays. Because if he says something that's too offensive, he's going to cut it out of his actual show. What's the protocol with cell phones at a high school level?
So the protocol for us is that it should simply be out of sight, and it should be ringer off. And you know, it's funny because they do studies, right, with people that are out on dates or people that are asked to take basic cognitive tests and so forth, and they have their cell phone on the table in front of them but turned over so they can't see it, versus stowed away. And what they find is that the people that have the adults even. That have the phone on their table, turned over, are still distracted by it. Because there's this like constant, what do they call it, a feedback loop, where, ooh, I've got attention, somebody wants to talk to me, da-da.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to resist.
Do you think that they can see a notification on the phone, or just the fact that their phone is there and there might be a notification?
Oh, sure.
Well, what's funny, too, is I shouldn't admit this, but you're in here, I have a lot of people in here now, or just when I'm interviewing people on the phone. Like, I wanted to look up this comic. It's Dave Chappelle. That's the comic, right?
Yep.
But when I have to do that, I have to, like, my attention has to go there for a second. So the whole time you were talking, and I was just kidding. But
we don't really multitask.
Right.
There's brain research out there that says what we do is if we have three things, we do thing A, and then very briefly we shut it off to go to B, and very briefly we shut them both off to go to C, then we go back to A. We don't actually do all of them at once.
Yeah.
When they're like higher cognitive types of things. We tell the kids phones should be out of sight, turned off, and if we have, a minute left at the end of the period, I'll say, some teachers will say, go ahead and check your phones if you need to. But otherwise, that's what we do. And, in between classes or at lunch. And we ask the parents to, like, unless you really need to, try to avoid just kind of the random text during the day. Because that reinforces your kid wanting to check.
Yeah, it'd be great if, hey, kids, could you just leave your cell phone at home? Like, it would be ridiculous, right? But some schools must do this. Like, you get into the school and just put your cell phone but I suppose there'd be a lot of theft then. Maybe
some will say keep it in your locker.
Yeah, that'd be great,
but we just tell them keep it in your backpack.
Okay. How many times a day are you catching a kid cell phone?
Kids are pretty good.
They're pretty good?
Pretty good. I mean, nobody's perfect. Kids are pretty good. They're kids, and you just have to talk to them about it. Like, I need you to be paying attention to what we're doing.
Well, how many kids are on just Google Translate trying to figure out answers to your class?
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's a whole other thing to talk about, too, and I want to talk about this a little bit, just the Spanish in general. But, man, Google Translate, I mean, that must make your job harder, right, or easier?
No, I mean, there's a place for it. There honestly is. When a kid says, I need this word, go and look it up.
Yeah.
Before, they would have grabbed a dictionary. Mm-hmm. Now they just quick grab. We actually encourage kids to use SpanishDictionary.com. It's a free site, and it's very good. It gives examples, it gives usages, and the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what most of the Spanish teachers, I think, tell our kids to use.
Virtual learning, though, I mean, your test must have just been all Google Trends, like all the answers.
Well, you try to give stuff right. It's very hard. It's very hard to really verify, because the whole point of a quiz or a test is not to catch you, is not to separate you, the A-plus student, from this other kid who's the C-minus student. The purpose of the test is, can I assess what you've learned?
Yeah.
And then do you know, hey, I do know this, or no, I really don't know this very well. And so then when the kids are doing that kind of stuff, neither they nor I know, have you learned what I want you to learn?
Yeah, and we can get into trying to learn Spanish as a high schooler, which is I just have questions about when we come back. Brad's got to do the news. Scott's comic coming up. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. John Havlicek, not the Central High grad, John Havlicek, as a caller called in, wanted to give that guy a piece of his mind.
Yeah,
I don't know
funny.
What that story was going to be.
Yeah.
But John Havlicek's the president of the Lacrosse Education Association. He's also a Spanish teacher at Central High. He's been doing that a quarter of century, almost a quarter century. You're going to have like will they have a party for you or something for hitting that 25-year mark?
I doubt it.
I think you, we were talking a couple of different things, cell phones and classrooms, but I wanted to talk about Spanish in the classroom because at Hortonville, when I got as a freshman, it was a mandate. I just got to say the word mandate, but you had to take a foreign language.
Sure.
And so I took Spanish and I didn't learn anything. Like I don't, I mean, I did okay. I think I grasped some of the concepts. I can even remember some words, but I think that might be from just Adam Sandler's CDs and stuff. But the idea that we start kids learning foreign language at the high school level, is that still the case? Are we still doing it that way? Are we trying to? Because kids learn Spanish when they're little.
Yeah, like, we start, you know, in lacrosse, we start in the middle schools.
Okay.
And that's pretty standard to start in sixth grade, seventh grade, or eighth grade, right in there. But, you know, our country as a whole is an outlier on that. You know, and I think it's because we're geographically so large.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at countries in Europe, countries in South America, countries in Africa, kids start learning a second language more like second grade, first grade. So, you know, you might see someone from an African nation that may speak like a tribal language. Now, not a dialect. It's an, the official languages. And then they're learning a national language, you know, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And then they'll start learning a third language by the time they're in sixth or seventh grade.
And that, and you mentioned geographically, that makes a little bit of sense because we're not getting out of the, you know, maybe we go to Canada and have to speak some French or something, or go down to Mexico, but like,
right.
Oftentimes we're not exposed to those languages.
Nope.
So it's not as important per se, but it seems like I think the idea of learning another language just would be beneficial just to make your brain work in a different way. Not to mention the fact that you would also learn another language and the job opportunities, mm-hmm. I think that you would have. But why have you ever pushed for, hey, maybe we should start doing this earlier?
Yeah, we try. You know, it's just, it comes down to you know, one thing, right? Give you one guess. It's dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's hard. Yeah, there's a lot of brain research out there, actually, that supports what you just said, that learning a second language, it like basically flexes your mental muscles. And so then now they've done studies, and there are lower cases of, you name the degenerative brain issue that older adults get, it's less in people that speak more than one language. When they talk about other facility with different things, they do a lot of brain research on these things. And kids don't mix up the second language and the first. And it's easier to start younger. And it definitely makes you stronger mentally.
Would it be better just to take you as a high school Spanish teacher, if we have the dollars for that, and just turn you into second grade? Is that where you want to start there? First grade doesn't seem like all that. Or the,
yeah.
We just, you start and you do first, second, third, and fourth graders, right? Wouldn't it be the same, maybe more kids?
I mean, it wouldn't be for me because
all the high school, all the elementary kids funnel into the high school. So actually, it might be harder because there's just more elementary school.
Well, right? Yeah, the issue is really the pedagogy. It's a world of difference, kind of like what you and I were talking about, between teaching first grade and teaching ninth grade. It's a world of difference in terms of how you do it.
Right. Well, that was my next question. Would you even know how to train? You'd have to figure it out.
I mean, I could make some guesses, right?
Yeah.
But that's not where my training is.
Yeah.
And to somebody who's not a teacher, they might go, oh, come on, how different is it? It's different enough that I would need quite a bit of training to be able to do that.
Well, just, and then when you look at how, I always, and I don't pretend to understand it or even try to decipher it because I don't want to do that, but you'll see on Facebook every once in a while, here's how your kid's learning math now, and here's how you learn math. And I'd be like, well, I bet that other way is way easier. So we're even doing that stuff in the school, in the level. The math teachers have to figure out how to teach a little differently, which means you got to go to a lot of training. So what? How hard is it to get a high schooler? I mean, what's your? How many? When your kids graduate, are mm-hmm. they got to come? They must contact you every once in a while. Are they throwing some Spanish at you, or do they go? Yeah. You know, I forgot all the Spanish I ever learned.
No, you know, you kind of build this relationship with the kids, and so you know, just kind of funny ones that stick out. You know, a student. Graduated 5 years ago now, I guess, and she went to the University of Minnesota up in, I think St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And to get her, like, they have a certificate program that says that you are, like, literate or whatever in a second language, proficient in a second language.
Sure.
She took one class. That was all she needed after her high school.
Okay.
You know, so we got her 80% of the way there kind of thing. So that was really good. And I wouldn't have known that except she sent it to me.
Yeah.
You know, I had another kid stop by and visit, and she brought her college textbook, and it was the same textbook that we're using in Spanish 4 and 5. And she says, yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, I tested into advanced level of class, and I had already done half the chapters with you.
Right.
You know, and then just a couple weeks ago, I had a kid. She just graduated and she's doing WISCOR, you know, the conservation stuff.
Yeah.
And they were driving through Indiana on some kind of a joint venture. And she snapped me a picture of a Don Quixote's restaurant in Indiana. And that's something that we read, with our seniors in Spanish 5. And so that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it must be rewarding when you hear. I mean, you almost would probably crave it. I mean, I wish I could hear about all my students that have gone on. And but that those are all the good stories. Do you ever get any, you know, just the opposite of that? And just, man, I really did not learn a thing.
No,
because that's my experience. And I would never. I guess that would be inconsiderate. I would never go back to my high school Spanish teacher and be like, "Hey, Miss, what we call her, Senora Rowe, I think it was." I didn't learn anything in your stupid Spanish class, I just, like, I didn't have a great attitude about it either. I think maybe a lot of kids go into that and go, mm-hmm. Do they have to take Spanish now? Is it required?
No. Okay. You know, I mean, it's encouraged, of course, to take a foreign language, a second language, a world language. Some kids will come back and say, yeah, you know, I really don't remember that much. But honestly, the most common thing, if it's not a success story, is I wish I had paid a little more attention. I wish I had kept going with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the kids will find that all of a sudden at age 22, 23, 24, they're in this situation where they're going, yeah, I kind of wish I knew more Spanish or German or French or Chinese, whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
That's much more common.
Well, you'll see that in jobs too, I think, a lot of times. If you're a profession in another language, it's really going to help you out. Is it easier when you get these students as freshmen? And I guess just down the road, is it easier to teach them how to speak the language, or is it easier to teach them how to write and read the language?
Oh, sure. Yeah, like, so reading and listening we call, like, input or comprehension, and that always is in front of speaking and writing, which we would call production or output. So it's always a little bit easier, you know, because you might look at some, you know, if we just, poof, magically transported you to Spain— and you're in the middle of some town, and you look around, you go, okay, I see a sign over there. It looks an awful lot like the word pharmacy.
Yeah.
I bet that's what it is. But if I said...
Pharmacia?
Pharmacia, very nice.
Just get thrown. That was a guess.
You're just
that
making just it up. Guess, yeah. But if we ask you to go the other way, it's much harder.
Yeah.
So comprehension, because you bring all of your life knowledge to bear on that.
When is Spanish going to get woke and stop with this gender stuff?
You know, that's interesting.
I've always thought that my whole life.
That's really interesting because I had a student this year. Gloria is out there somewhere. And she said, you know, well, Mr. Havlicek, I think it's kind of like, I get it, but I don't think we should be doing it in Spanish. And we don't. I mean, that's not something that, like, we do in class or whatever. And I said, it's interesting because I've heard both sides of it from native Spanish speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them saying, you know, yes, we should be more careful. Some saying, no, that's really just a U.S. like problem. you know, that culture is not as inclusive or whatever. And so, no, don't mess with the Spanish language.
Yeah.
Per se.
If I knew Spanish, I'd throw you examples of a word that's right? Like
there are some that are gender neutral.
But there's words that are straight up female-ish and straight up male-ish. But but do you have any good examples of, like, you know what? That's kind of weird that it is, because I don't know Spanish anymore.
Oh, sure, so. Well, like the word house is casa, and that's feminine.
Okay.
Okay. The word I don't know, teléfono, is masculine. But then the word student, there's estudiante, which ends with an e.
Yeah.
That's both. But then there's alumno, which is masculine, and alumna, which is feminine. O versus A on the end.
Yeah.
So this young lady, I just said, you know, you should write a letter to the school board president. Right. And because you have a different perspective than I do.
Write a letter to this president of Spain, maybe. Just be like, yo, dude.
Well, that's a taller order.
Or to the Mexican president. I don't know. I don't know. It didn't bother me, but it was always something curious about. Why are these words? Why do they have genders? It doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe that's why I failed that first semester. Getting a text, libertarian guy said my daughter spoke Spanish from John. She is a junior this year. Learned a lot. Excellent teacher. He says, funny, I don't remember any indoctrination.
Funny.
The Spanish indoctrination. Getting back to let's take a break before I go down the mask alley again. Hold tight. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. I was just talking about how video games are just the new education. At what point did high school have a video game class, you know?
Yeah, club maybe.
Yeah.
They do that, maybe. But.
Yeah, we had someone, I can't remember, this is the cognitive mind depreciation that's going on with me. I'm going to have Alzheimer's soon. But we talked about keeping, you know, having school programs, after school programs. And I think it had to do with childcare and supplementing childcare. And, you know, if you get parents help with paying for childcare, then they can go to work, as opposed to if mom wants to get a job, well, the job that she's going to get is only going to pay enough to pay the childcare. So is it worth it to not have mom raising the kid? Right. And if you can supplement and then. They were talking about after school programs, you know, if you could work with the high schools to have more after school or better at more diverse. And I brought up video games. Like, well, no, the person said, well, you don't want kids sitting around playing video games all day. And I go, well, if they sat around and played video games after school together and it's just it's just like playing football or volleyball to some degree, it's not physically active, but it's, you know, communal. It's a kids, you know, learning and interacting and they were like, oh yeah, I guess so. It's not like it's not out of the question for, it's not the worst thing to have kids play video games. And you're talking about one of your former students, maybe sort of kind of going pro with video games, which is pretty cool. All right. So we got just a couple of minutes here I just want to kind of roll back to the idea that lacrosse schools are going to have masks again. And what did I want to say? Just the whole idea about this is because there's a Delta variant going on now. That's not the whole idea. The freaking virus is still going on, but this Delta variant is there are numbers that suggest that kids are, this is affecting kids a lot more. And is that, was that a big reason for your group to push this for?
Absolutely. I mean, all the numbers out there, right? Look at Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, the whole southern United States. That the Delta variant is more contagious, so it's more transmissible, kids are more susceptible to it, and they get potentially more serious, more often side effects. And so, you know, we don't need to go back to what we did last year, right? I don't think any of us want to do that. And the way to do it is to keep the kids safe, keep the adults in the building safe, the staff, the teachers, and the teacher's assistants and everybody. And then that keeps the community safe. And then we can continue on having as close as possible to regular school.
I remember when we first started talking about masks in school, My first thought was, how are you going to get a first grader to wear a mask? And there you see the memes out there. Kids came home, went to school with a Ninja Turtles mask and came home with a Iron Man mask. And maybe that happens. But and then after I started reading about it, I was like, oh, you know what? The little kids are the most obedient and the best ones at wearing a mask. They don't even question it. Like, hey, you're going to have to wear this. So, you know, and that's the biggest step now is that the kids 12 and under aren't vaccinated. So that might be the most important group aside from people other than everyone that's not vaccinated, the 12 and under group having masks, right?
Yeah. I mean, we need to keep those kids safe because they're not vaccine eligible yet. And so, masking at that age group is important, and it's just a miracle. I think Greg was our caller earlier. I'm sure if he wanted to visit an elementary school, I could help him arrange that. And you can see what these teachers do, and it's amazing. But then what we can't have is someone else, let's say if the high school were not masked, and thank you again to Dr. Engel on that, they take it home to their third grade brother or sister who can't get the vaccine yet and was masked at school, but isn't at home. And that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, and then it just goes to the possibly the parents there and beyond that. And it's hard to look at numbers now in terms of, I know Ryan was texting earlier this morning when we were talking about this, just where are the numbers? I want to see the numbers. And I sent him a lot of links to stories, and he didn't want to read the stories, which have the numbers. And then those numbers are always cited, because when you say nearly 94,000 child cases of COVID-19 were recorded during a period, I think just this past a couple weeks ago, and that was a 31% increase from the week earlier. So we're just seeing these. But 94,000 isn't a huge number if you're doing the entire United States. I don't know if they're doing it.
But that's only like a week or whatever.
Right. And it's just like it's a uptick of a week. But that is the case. This variant is getting the kids. And then it's affecting the kids more. The percentage is probably still pretty small, but it's definitely going way up. In terms of affecting those kids that are...
Sure, and you see clusters, you know? I mean, so that if it runs through a school, that school's going to shut down. That's what we're trying to avoid.
All right, that's John Havlicek. He's the... I'm not going to be able to... Lacrosse... LEA, Lacrosse Education Association President. He's a Central High School teacher. Thanks a lot for joining me. And, when does school start?
And staff start back tomorrow, and then we start with kids on September 1st.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.